May it please God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 10 and we'll read verse 27. Gospel of Mark chapter 10 and reading verse 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible." It is surely a great encouragement and a strength to us to realize that we as unworthy sinners on the earth have such a great God. A great God who with this God, nothing shall be impossible. That means that you and I should never limit God. We should never think, therefore, that something is impossible. Because God is able to do far more exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. And so as we travel on through life, really, there are those things which occur in our natural life. There are those things which occur in our spiritual life. And there may perhaps be many occasions when we cannot see how things will work out. We cannot see how our prayers will be answered. We cannot indeed believe, as the apostle says, all things are working together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. But let us remember the Lord Jesus Christ when he prayed to his Father in the 17th of John, when he said, "Thy word is true." Yes, the truth of God will never vary, and you and I can rely upon it. And so, as we see this statement here in this 27th verse, and of course it was in reference to the question really being asked by the disciples, the question had been about those who were rich, and the Lord comes down and tells them, and he says, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And their response was, "And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, 'Who then can be saved?'" Well, that was a general statement, but you know, it's a very true statement. It may be a question that you and I perhaps may be asking ourselves as to whether we can be saved. Perhaps it might seem almost impossible. It might seem that our sins are just too great, too immense, that they will never be forgiven, and therefore we will never be cleansed from them, and therefore we will never go at last to heaven. Well, what a blessing if the Lord grants to us a true concern about such a situation, and such a concern to know that we are amongst those who are saved, those whom the Lord has loved with an everlasting love, those for whom he laid down his life. What a blessing if the Holy Spirit grants us then such a concern. And we should not be discouraged. However bad, however evil, however wrong we may consider ourselves, because we have examples in the Word of God to encourage us. Perhaps one of the greatest examples is with regard to King Manasseh. Yes, as he followed on from his father Hezekiah, a great godly king. And now we read it, and you can read about him in the Chronicles and also in the Kings about his life. But he was really one of the most wicked kings that ever existed. And it's only really in the book of the Chronicles that we read how he then sought the Lord. And why did he seek the Lord? Because the Lord constrained him. The Lord changed him. The Lord brought about that which he could not bring about. And we can read in the 33rd chapter and from verse 11 perhaps, wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. Now then, this is what it says. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Revelation. The Lord revealed himself to Manasseh in this glorious way. Then he knew that the Lord, he was God. And we can read on, and in the 19th verse of this same chapter, we read his prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sin, and his trespass, and the places wherein he built high places, and set up groves and graven images, before he was humbled, behold, thou written among the sayings of the seers. So we have there a very clear statement with regards to the repentance that God granted to King Manasseh. And that should be an encouragement to us. If perhaps we are asking the question, well, can I be saved? Is there any possibility that I can be saved? Remember what the word says, for with God all things are possible. Yes, the very worst of sinners. Yes, we have this case of Manasseh. We also have in the Word of God the case of Mary Magdalene. And there we have a woman who found grace in the eyes of God. And so let us never be discouraged. Let us always remember that with men it is impossible. You and I cannot save ourselves. We cannot redeem our souls, but with God, all things are possible. And just following this wonderful theme of forgiveness, because it is so important and so necessary. And how can it be achieved? How is it achieved? And it's only through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for his people in dying in their place. He paid the punishment for their sins. And through his death, he has taken away all their sins. You and I cannot remove our sins. It is impossible. But we're thankful we have a great and glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save us from our sins, to deliver us from the wrath to come. Isn't that a wonderful truth? To think that the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person in the Trinity, the great God, the creator of all things, gloriously and wonderfully, condescended to come into this sinful world and to live that perfect life and to therefore satisfy the demands of the holy law of God, and then to come and give his life, not for himself, but for his church. His church, every member, the vilest sinner, the most wicked person, including ourselves, including Manasseh. Oh, we should be very thankful then that we have such a gospel. These things which are impossible with men. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Well, may we never forget that. Whatever situation we might find ourselves in. You may remember the well-known character Jonah. Jonah ran away from God. Jonah had a clear commission as to what he was to do. But he ran away from God. He didn't fancy it. He thought it was too difficult. But God knew where Jonah was. And God dealt with Jonah. And how did he deal with him? In love to his soul. Love to his soul. Jonah, yes. God didn't throw him away. No, God didn't allow him to be drowned in the sea. No, God was gracious to him. And there he was, in the whale's belly. And what did he say? He said, I'm cast out of thy sight. Cast out of God's sight. That's what he thought. He wasn't. And that's a mercy that we're not either. You might think perhaps that God's forgotten us. You may think that we are cast out of God's sight. Well, that's what Jonah said, but it's good that we can read what continues. He says, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The Holy Spirit, you see, spoke to him and convinced him to look again, to pray again, to seek for mercy. God granted him a wonderful deliverance. And of course then, you see Jonah, the Lord spoke to him, he then obeyed the Lord. He didn't disobey the Lord, he obeyed the Lord. And what a good thing it is for us in our lives. If the Lord comes and brings us into these situations where we recognize how we've failed and how we've erred, and yet once again, to pray unto the God of heaven. Never give up praying. Remember, the door of God's mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. What a mercy that is. And so, let us not forget then this truth. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And you may remember also, in the history of the children of Israel, that occasion when they sinned against God, they often did. They often turned their back upon God. They often disobeyed his word with solemn, solemn consequences. And on one occasion, God sent serpents to bite them. And they were very poisonous serpents. And they were, all those who were bitten died, and the multitudes were dying because of this situation. But the Lord brought about a deliverance. Deliverance. It was impossible naturally for Moses to bring about any deliverance. But he was told to make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, and all those who looked lived. And that, you see, is a wonderful picture of the gospel. And it represents the sinner looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, for forgiveness. You might say, well, it's so simple. Well, it is so simple. But you know, you and I need grace. You and I need faith. To look to the Savior. To realize there is forgiveness with him. And so, with men it is impossible. These Israelites could not save themselves. but with God all things are possible. And how very simply the Lord enabled those Israelites who looked to that serpent, and they were indeed healed. Well, we should be very thankful that we have so many examples to encourage us to believe that this word we have here tonight is of God, is true. For with God, not without God, with God all things are possible. Things are not possible without God. We should not try and press on and solve problems and solve difficulties and make plans in our own strength. We should commit our way unto the Lord and trust also in Him that He will bring it to pass. And you and I can be sure that if we are the children of God, the Lord will work. The Lord says, I will work. And who shall let it or who shall hinder it? No, it won't be stopped. God's time frame will be worked out. It may not be your frame and our time frame, but it will be God's, and it will work out in His time and for His honor and for His glory. And so let us be thankful tonight that we have such a statement like this to encourage us and to strengthen us. Now, you remember, of course, I'm sure Job was a man of God. Job didn't have an easy life, did he? It was all right to begin with, and then he passed through a very trying time, a very hard time, and had to sit and listen to his three friends come and speak to him, and then Elihu, and then finally, of course, the Lord graciously came and spake to Job, and of course, that had a good effect upon him. And that will be the same with you and me. When God comes, God speaks, then you see, there will be a true blessed effect. And in the 42nd chapter of Job, we read about Job, and this is what he said. Job answered the Lord, and what did he say? I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. What do we see? Confidence in his God. The Lord had graciously come and spoken to Job, told him about himself, told him how great he was, the God, how great God was. And that brought Job down to a very low place, but also to come and to testify this great truth. I know that thou canst do everything. Well, what a blessing it is for you and me today. If we come to that position, if God perhaps has brought us or does bring us down low, and it brings us, we might say, into a wealthy place, because it really was a wealthy place for Job, and we know that the Lord blessed the latter end of Job far more than the beginning. And so he was able to confirm, I know that thou canst do everything. He didn't just stop there, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. And may that be again an encouragement to us to bless God that we have such a God who is indeed mindful of us and doesn't deal with us in accordance with what we deserve. Well, we can move on to the New Testament. You can remember Paul. Well, Paul had a difficult life, didn't he? We can read about the blessings he had, but we can also read about the many hardships and the many difficulties that he has to face almost continually. And when he wrote to the Ephesians, he desired to really acknowledge the greatness of his God and how great he was. He tells us in the third chapter, the 20th verse, he says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's so easy for us poor sinful creatures of the earth to limit our God. And yet, we're thankful that we have a statement like this, to know that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Power belongeth unto God. The Lord can appear and do great things. The Lord can come and change people's minds. The Lord can blessedly hedge up our way. The Lord can control the things which happen to us, where we thought perhaps there was no solution. We're tempted, therefore, to think, well, there's no hope. Well, remember, with God, all things are possible. And we have so many naturally encouraging statements or situations we may see, say, in the Word of God to strengthen our faith. Now, we can read the accounts, and of course, they're very wonderful accounts. Let us try and put ourselves in those positions without the result, and realize the faith that was required and the favor of God to bring about those impossible situations. Remember the case of Elijah. Elijah in Mount Carmel. Where he thought he was the only person, because he wasn't right, but he thought he was the only person that hadn't bowed down to kneel to Baal. He was the only person, but he wasn't. But anyway, there he was on Mount Carmel with all the prophets of Baal. And the great need was to know who was God. Who was the true God? A great question, wasn't it? All the people assembled to see who was the true God. And Elijah laid down what was to be done. And the difficulty there was, because they were to build an altar, and they were to slay an animal, and they were to douse it with water, and then they were to pray to their gods that fire might come down from heaven and consume the sacrifice. Well, as no doubt you remember, Baal's prophets were utterly unable to produce any fire at all. Everything was just as it was, Sodom, with no success. And Elijah waited until the time of day when the evening sacrifice was offered up. And then he told the people to come near. Then he built the sacrifice, he built an altar. And he slayed the animals, placed it on the altar. He doused it with water so thoroughly, all the water run round about in a trench he built. And then he prayed unto his God. God sent down fire from heaven and consumed everything. The sacrifice, the altar, the water, everything was consumed. With God, all things are possible. And what a result that was. And what did the people say? The Lord, he is the God. There was no doubt about it. And when God graciously comes and blesses us, not in the same situation, but perhaps in our little way, in our little world, in our little life, how encouraging it is when the Lord hears and answers prayer. And we are able then to say, the Lord, he is the God. He has heard and he has answered prayer. That which I thought was impossible, God came and God blessed. Elijah is a wonderful example of faith. But there are others, of course, just briefly, Daniel, we can think of Daniel, I'm sure, in his life and the great confidence he had in his God. What a blessing it was when he wouldn't partake of the king's food. No, he just wanted to prove that he could do well without him and his three friends. And God would be with them and God would bless them. And so it came to pass. And of course, Daniel's faith was tested. And you say, your faith and my faith will be tested. What does it do? It proves to us the greatness of our God when he stands with us and delivers us. There was Daniel. He wouldn't give up. He wouldn't forsake doing that which he did day by day. And that was to pray to his God. The king's law was that he should bow down to the idols. But no, he continued. And of course, that's just what his enemies wanted, to find a reason so that he might be destroyed. And therefore he was taken and thrown into the lion's den. Well, we know that naturally speaking, there was only one solution, and that was he would be killed and would be eaten by the lions. And that's very obvious, because when Daniel was taken up out of the lion's den, then all those his accusers and their wives and children were thrown to the lions, and they were all killed almost immediately. But God had shut the lion's mouth. God had shut the lion's mouth. And there may perhaps be in your life and my life those who are against us, those who may speak against us. God can shut their mouths. The things which are impossible with man, not impossible with God. God can shut people's mouths. God can change their position, change their views, change their attitude. They're all in the hands of Almighty God. Let us never forget that. And let us be strengthened to realize with God, all things are possible. And then perhaps in the New Testament, Paul and Silas, following the commands of God, doing the will of God. Yes, preaching in Philippi after the command of God, doing God's will. And then they were taken captive, and then they were beaten, and then they were thrust in prison. You may think, well, surely they were going to be very bitter. They were going to be very rebellious. But here they were obeying God, and now they were suffering in this very difficult and harsh way. Well, we can read very wonderfully and very gloriously, at midnight in the prison house, these two men, they sang praises unto their God, and the prisoners heard them. What a testimony of the grace of God. What a wonderful blessing to have such a record in the Word of God. How God was gracious to them in that situation. Of course, he brought about a wonderful deliverance. A wonderful deliverance. Because there was an earthquake, and the prison doors were opened and the chains fell off. Yes, and the jailer, of course, was very fearful that the prisoners had all escaped. Was going to kill himself, but Paul stopped him doing that, and then quite clearly preached unto him the gospel. That was the reason why he'd gone to Philippi. He never thought he'd be preaching to a jailer in the prison, but nonetheless, it was the time for the conversion of the jailer and all his house. What a wonderful time that was. And of course, the jailer was moved by the Spirit of God and all his house to be baptized. What a wonderful occasion that was. What a God-honoring occasion it was. And do we not come back to these words? But for with God all things are possible. He would not have thought, would he, that it was possible to be delivered out of that prison house, but God's ways are to be fulfilled for the honour and glory of his name. Well, this jailer and his family had a great cause, didn't they, to praise God. And may you and I have great reason in our lives, in one way or another, to praise God, to realise that with God all things are possible. It's a wonderful thing to realise that we have a God in heaven who rules and reigns, a God who does not change. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. It is the wonderful mercy of God. But just let me come back to that which we really began with. And that is to think that with God all things are possible. And that refers to the forgiveness of all our sins. Very easily believe that we are without any possibility of receiving forgiveness. We may think that we've sinned against light and knowledge. And there is no hope for us. Well, Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost, those who are ruined in the fall, those who have no confidence in themselves. They may have been proud of their lives, they may have been satisfied of all that they've done and were doing, and then when the Holy Spirit comes and convinces them of their sin, convinces them of their black sins, convinces them that they have no right to enter into heaven, they have no right at all, and that they cannot unless their sins are forgiven. And then to be found with this good hope, looking unto Jesus. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved, for I am God and there is none else. That's the glorious gospel. But with God all things are possible, yes. May we have faith to look to the Saviour. Look to him in whatever condition we find ourselves in. The Lord knows about us. What a mercy. Perhaps it might even be like it was in the case of the prodigal son. Yes, he wanted to enjoy himself. Off he went, spent all his money and all his goods until that time when we read he began to be in want. And that, of course, is a wonderful blessing when you and I have begun to be in want in a spiritual way. We need the Saviour. We need forgiveness. We need mercy. We need to know the wonderful love of Jesus toward us, unworthy as we are. What a mercy then to know this great truth that with God all things are possible. That however bad we are, we're not without the reach of Almighty God. The Lord stands there to have mercy upon us, to look upon us, to not deal with us as our sins deserve, but to deliver us from the wrath to come. There is forgiveness with God that he may be feared. Remember, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleans us from all sin. That means what it says, every sin, however many they are, however black they are, all sin. With God, all things are possible. Well, may that be a wonderful encouragement to us tonight as we think of these simple words, but they are so comprehensive and they are so great. And may we be encouraged by them and strengthened by them and go on our way rejoicing in what the Word of God tells us, For with God nothing shall be impossible, nothing at all. And may we therefore praise and bless God, and may we prove it. Because if you and I prove it, you know the result. Honor and glory to God. We shall be amongst those who praise Him. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, for His love, for His mercy, and for His grace, which has come to such unworthy sinners. So let us ponder these words, and may they be blessed to us. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Amen.